I'm sorry, Isaiah 6:1. Isaiah 6:1. The students got a little bit of this today. And it never surprises me as I was preparing my message today how the Lord worked it, because I'm also preparing a Sunday school lesson. And it was on the same topic. And it's kind of inspiring when God does that to you. But to preface my message, I wanted to read this to you. I wanted to share with you what a great God we have. And Isaiah 6:1-8 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." When I read this to my class today, I told them that meant the house was shaking when that voice spoke. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." God is holy. And Isaiah is recognizing here that he is unworthy as a sinner to be in the presence of a holy God. He also recognizes that God can forgive sin, and he's looking for a servant to send. Will you answer as Isaiah answered? Will you say, "Here am I, send me"? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how you're going to work tonight in my heart and the hearts of your people here. Lord, guide and direct that all of that is said and done will be to bring you honor and glory. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I titled my message, Service. And if you'll turn to Hebrews 12:28, that is where my text is at. This was just to give you a taste of what a holy God we do serve and how Isaiah felt as though, why am I standing here? I'm not worthy. And how he was purged and how we can be purged. So Hebrews 12:28 tells us, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Service. What do you think of when the word service is told to you? I think what Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And so how do you view God and his kingdom? Is God someone special to you? Is heaven a special place for you? Is heaven someplace you're looking forward to? Or is this something that you want to avoid? I know my son used to say as a young man, "Dad, I don't want the rapture to come until I have kids. I want to enjoy being a dad." And I said, "Son, if the Lord comes today, it'll be okay." So do you have a reverence for his name and position? His name and his position, a reverence. Or is he someone that sits up in heaven that we remember when we need something? What is your God really like? And I ask myself that. I challenge myself with that. Because how often do I forget that he's watching? and I think that I'm going to get away with something. Do we view him as a man upstairs? How often have you heard that term? He's just a man upstairs. Or one whose name we take lightly. Or worse, listen as his name is used as profanity. That just grates me when I hear his name used in profanity. And people think nothing of it. But yet, I want to bring reverence to his name. He is someone special to me. God is the same today as he was in the beginning. God has not changed. What he would do in the Old Testament, he did in the New Testament, and he is doing today, and will forever be the same. God is to be high and lifted up, and he should be given his rightful place. So tonight, what is his rightful place in your life? And what is his rightful place in his word? And are they the same? Because if we say this is a truth, and it has him in a position of high esteem and care, where is he at in your life? And so I often remind the teens that when we disregard God by not giving him the reverence that he deserves, is the same as looking up and saying, I don't really care what you think, God. And you may think, wow, that's an attitude to have. But is it not what we're doing? Because he sees it all. He knows your heart. And we know what his word says. And we say, we don't care. I don't care that you want me to read your word. I don't care that you want me in church. I don't care that I need to do right and keep my sin life short. I don't care. Or do you give him the reverence that he deserves? Oops, I'm sorry, God. Get down and ask for forgiveness and get your plate cleaned again. When we start our day without regard for his word, or without a godly fear, we are letting him know that we are capable of living without him. Might as well just look up and say, I don't need you today. I've got this, Lord. I am good at this. I can handle this. And yet, shamefully, I've done that. I walked out my door and gone about my business because I didn't plan to worship him that morning. I didn't plan to ask him, God, what are you going to do with me today? And will you protect me? Yes. We'll never know the protection that God gave us or gives us every day. How do you know that you weren't at that corner at just the right time to not get run over by a semi? You don't know that. But God has a way of doing that. Sounds pretty bad. And it is when you tell God, I don't need you. But what's the difference when you start your day without him? I have on my wall a poster to remind me to do my devotions daily and the reason why I need to do them. You see, I'm a sinner. And I know that I'm weak. And without him, I am capable of some ugly things. But with him, I am able to conquer the world. So why would I want to start out my day without him? And so it's 2 Chronicles 12:14. And this says this, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. That's what it says. That's what 2 Chronicles 12:14 says. He did evil. So I tell my teens, do you want to be evil? Oh, no. Did you read your Bible? No. So is God's word wrong? Did it not tell you that you're going to do evil because you prepare not your heart? Well, yeah, but I know that I don't have to do evil. You're fooling yourself. You're telling God, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me handle this, God. I'm good at this. Do I want to do evil? No. Then I need to prepare my heart It is said that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from your Bible. Everybody knows that. That's a truth. Something that man made up, but it's a truth. Either you'll get in your Bible, or sin will keep you from your Bible. So I ask you, how's your sin life? And how's your Bible reading going? I can tell you how your sin life is if you'll tell me how your Bible reading is going. You're fighting it. And you're not going to win. That's what happens. You're not going to read your Bible. You're going to fall into sin because God doesn't lie. Do you read your Bible to take it off your checkoff list? Christians are known to do that. Oh, yeah, I got to read my Bible today. Let me read it. Zoom. Okay, I'm done. Or do you read it to get something out of it? Guilty. Guilty. I'm in a hurry. I got to go teach a class. No excuse for it. How is your prayer life? Do you tell others praying for you and then forget about it? Guilty. Yeah, I'm guilty. I've done that. As I get older, I realize I better write it down or I'm going to forget it. What do you use to remind you to pray for others? Or is praying for others a requirement in your life? I got mine. I'm going to heaven. I tell my teens, when you get to heaven, there'll be two welcomes there. I do believe this. I can't prove it to you biblically. You'll either hear, "Welcome home," or you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What will you hear that day? I have, to my shame, forgotten. Do you only pray before a meal? Or when someone is watching? And maybe you don't even pray before a meal in public because you don't want to draw attention. I'm not one of those persons who's got to stand up and pray in public. But I am one of those persons that will pray in public with no shame. And if they don't like it, they can ask me to leave their restaurant. But I will pray for my food. Do you only pray when you're in need and then try to bargain with God? God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Guilty. I'm guilty. Yes, God, I'll do that. And you know, God is faithful. But I'm not. I bargained with him. I wanted something. And when I got it, I forgot about it. Do you pray because you want to speak to the one who loved you enough to send his son to die for you? Is that your reason for praying? Because you want to meet with the person who loved you enough that he sent his son? Or do you want to pray because someone is watching? Something to think about. Do you have a ministry? And are you faithful to fulfill your duty? I'm talking to you that have a ministry. Do you come prepared to serve your God? Are you prayed up? Well, Mr. Mendez, I come to church. When the altar call is done, are you prepared to lead someone to the Lord? The Lord opens that door of opportunity. Do you seek opportunities? I'm blessed. I have people knocking on my door to come want to talk to me about getting saved. I'm blessed. But if I'm not prepared, I'm in trouble. Are you responsible and doing your best, or are you just doing your minimum? Well, I got it done. Wasn't very good, but I got it done. I tell these teens, I spend time preparing their lessons because I want God to use me. I spend time preparing this message because I'm preparing it for my Father. And I want him to be happy with it. I want him to use me. Do you have a godly fear of fulfilling your service? Or are you concerned that pastor's not going to like it? I'm concerned my Father's not going to like it. You should be concerned that your Father's not going to like it. So do it to the best of your ability. God doesn't say you have to give him an ability. You got to give him an availability. You just got to be there. He'll help you. He'll get you through it. But I don't know how. Well, I didn't either until I did it the first time. Can you say I'm serving God with a reverence and godly fear? Do you look for opportunities on how you can be a blessing to others because you want to bless your Father? Or do people have to ask you all the time? Or do you come up and say, you know, I know you're lacking there. Can I help you? Or can I take care of this because it's not getting taken care of? But don't do it because someone else is not doing it. Do it because you have a reverence and a fear for your God. Do it for the right reasons. Do you view your ministry as I get to serve and not that I have to serve? You know, Vision Baptist Church is going to move forward with or without you because it's God's work. Not because it's my work, not because it's your work, not because it's anybody in this building's work. It's God's work. And it'll succeed if he wants it to succeed, or he'll change the ministry. He has a way of doing that. Do you know that God doesn't need us? He really doesn't. But he wants to use us because he wants to bless us. It's for our good. So why do you have so much time to watch TV? Maybe that's what God is trying to keep you from by giving you a ministry and keeping you busy. Why do you have time just to hang out and do nothing? Because, God, I really kind of like that. Well, I figure that one day in heaven I'll get all the rest I need. That'll be good enough for me. And God wants us to have a treasure, not on earth, but in heaven. If you're building your treasure on earth, forget it. Doesn't mean anything. Are you taking your master for granted? Well, he's there, and he loves me. And so it really doesn't matter what I do because he loves me. That's true. He's your Father if you're saved. And he does love you. And as a parent, I know that I oversee a lot of my children's mistakes or their sin because I love them. I try not to oversee too many of them. But I'm more apt to help him than I'm to help someone out on the street. And so is God. Are you forgetting that one day you will give an account for your actions? One day you will answer when he says, why didn't you? It's really busy. Really needed that extra hour of sleep. Really just needed to take that Sunday morning off, Father. Sorry that you had someone at church that really needed me to witness to him, but I was busy, I was tired. We sometimes have selfish purposes or motives instead of what God called us to do. You can be the busiest person in the church and be doing it for the wrong reasons. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being busy to be busy. I'm talking about being busy because you have a reverence for your Father and you love him. I'm not talking about just being busy to be busy. Well, I got nothing else to do, so I guess I'll go over there and cut the grass because, hey, someone might drive by and see me cutting the grass. Hey, look at that brother. He's really doing well. Well, yeah, the grass needs cutting. but that's not the reason you should have to do it or want to do it. We often look at the big sins in our life, but we forget the sin of forgetting who our God is. Oh yeah, God, I really shouldn't have said that. I really shouldn't have done that. But you forgot to pray and you forgot all about that. Or you forgot to read your Bible that day. You can forget those. But the big ones, what you consider the big ones, are not really the big ones. We serve them with a minimum effort and we seek praise from others. And in my position, I get to see that. I'll have people that will ask me, well, I don't really want to do that job. I'd rather do this job. And if that job requires you to stand up in this place, that's the job they want to do. I've told you this in the past. When I first came to Vision, I got to dump the garbage cans. And I love my ministry. And I did it to the best of my ability. Nobody bothered me. Nobody came alongside and said, hey, you know, you're not doing a good enough job. Let me show you how to do that. They were just happy that I was out of the way and throwing the garbage. People say, well, maybe because you were new in the church. No, I'd been serving for about 30 years. So I wasn't new. I could teach. I could do a lot of other things. But I was happy taking out the garbage. And I'd be happy today if that was still my ministry. Sometimes when I'm sitting in that Sunday school class with those kids, I wonder, Lord, give me the garbage job back. I want that job back. But he says, no, I'm going to give you the grace to get through this. And I'm going to help you change your heart. It's not the kid's heart that he's concerned about. It's my heart. And that's how it is in ministry. He's concerned about your heart. What can I do to help your heart? And then let me use you to change other lives because you've allowed me to change your heart. Young people, you may say today, I'm too young. No, you're not. David was a boy. Samuel was a boy. Daniel was a boy. Joseph was a boy. And he was thrown into a pit, sold as a slave. And he said, God, what are you going to do with me? And he waited on him. You think it was easy? No. But yet we think, well, that's just not fair. God didn't say he was going to be fair. God said he was going to be right. And that's what we need to work for. Everything that we do for him must come from a heart filled with reverence and a godly fear, or it doesn't matter. If you do it for the wrong motives, it does not matter. If there's no reverence there, we cannot play games with him. He knows when we're playing games. We can't flatter him with words or fancy prayers because he knows our heart. We can't impress him with our big Bibles and our fancy clothes. Walk around like, man, look at me, I'm spiritual. That really doesn't matter. That doesn't flatter God because God knows my heart. He knows your heart. What is your view of God? Is he someone that's there, but really not there? And if he is there, do you understand that he's watching? Do you understand that he knows what you do? Does you understand that he knows your heart? And he knows whether you care or don't care? He's not there to squash you. He's there to help you. Do you serve him with that reverence and godly fear? Do you realize he sees through our shallowness and our vain pursuits? Oh yeah, I'm going to do this because it's going to make me look good. God knows that. Or maybe I want to be the principal just because that's an important part in the school. See, God knows my heart. I like the position. It's a nice position most of the time. But God has a purpose for having me there. I just want to serve him with reverence in that position. I don't want to be recognized for that. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What is your motivation? You know, I think that sometimes our young people think it's good enough to hear, "Welcome home." But is it? Is that what you want? Do you want your father to know that you don't love him as much as he loves you? I don't think I'll ever love God as much as he loves me. I don't know that I could send my son to die for someone who was a sinner. Maybe for a righteous person, but not for a sinner. But he did. Do you take him lightly, or do you realize that he is the King of Kings? Isaiah knew he was the King of Kings. Isaiah said, "I'm unworthy." He didn't want to be there. And then God sent an angel to purge him from his sin. You think that coal on his lips burnt and hurt? I don't think so. I really don't. God was just showing him, "I can take care of that." God is able to put us in our place when we lose sight of him. God knows how to bring us back around. I don't want to pay that price. God said that in the end, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess. That's a promise. That atheist that says there is no God, one day he will kneel and he will bow. You know, you've seen that picture of that little boy that his parent is telling him something. He says, "Yes, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I'm standing up." And sometimes we're like that little boy. God, I understand you want me to read my Bible. I understand you want me to pray. I understand you want me to do these things. And yes, I'm doing them. But I got my fingers crossed behind my back. When I have time, Lord. When I think that you deserve it. Really? Do you not think he can see your fingers behind your back? And you think, that's ridiculous. Tomorrow, when you get up and you go about your business and you don't pray and you don't read your Bible, on your way out the door, just look up and say, "God, I don't care." And if you can do that, shame on you. Because you are a son of the Most High God. And you are a child of the King. King's children act different because they are the children of a king. He deserves better treatment than that. So may we serve him out of reverence, because that last verse says, verse 29 in Hebrews 12 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And all that stuff that you thought mattered is going up in flames. And the only goal that's going to stay behind is what you did for him. It's all that's going to matter. That day, fancy cars, fancy houses. Nobody's going to care who won that football game. Nobody's going to care who won that baseball game. Nobody's going to care how many deer you killed that weekend. God's going to want to know how many souls got saved. Did you really love me? So Peter felt bad when he asked him three times, do you love me? How many times has he asked you as you walk out the door, do you love me? And you say, yes, Lord, I love you. And I took time to talk with you this morning, and you told me you love me also. We all love to hear that. That he loves us. And he'll tell you that if you tell him that. And when you read his word, he'll tell you how he loves you and how much he loves you. But you'll never know if you don't get into it. If you don't get into service with him. If you don't treat him with the respect that he deserves or the fear that he deserves. Let's pray.